I guess it's fair to say I'm a pretty high-stress guy because I worry about absolutely everything, including this very ad that I'm reading right now, and whether or not you're going to believe me and go out and buy this amazing product. But there's a company that ships federally legal THC right to your doorstep, and man, they are discreet. And yes, I'm talking about Mood.com. And among their gummies, two of them are my favorite. Sleepy Time Advanced Gummies does exactly that. When you're up and you're tossing and turning at night, you take a Sleepy Time gummy, boom, you are out cold. And then next, COE, Carm, sorry, but it's true. Sexual Euphoria Advanced Gummies, they help in the bedroom. They help a lot. But if you're not into gummies, there are other options. You've got flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and yes, even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. And best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS. In a case filled with ransom notes, surveillance video, gloves, vehicles that are being looked at, there's something that we just haven't slowed down enough to examine, and that is the family, the Guthrie family specifically. What does grief look like in real time? What is pressure like this do to siblings and the family dynamic? And what does it mean when a family has to perform hope on camera, which is what we've been seeing tonight? We're stepping back just a touch from the crime scene and all the talk that we've been hearing going back and forth, and looking at the human side, the tragedy here in Tucson, Arizona.
Welcome to the global phenomenon, Surviving the Survivor, where we bring you the best guests in all of true crime. Here's your host, Emmy Award-winning journalist, Joel Waldman.
What's up, SDS Nation? Welcome to Surviving the Survivor. This is the global phenomenon. Don't call it a show. Don't call it a podcast. Don't call it a YouTube. We've got more than 50 countries represented in the best community in all the social medias right here, right now, bringing you the very best guests in all of true crime. And this afternoon, doing something a little bit different. If you haven't met her yet, you're about to meet her. And I gave her strict instructions today. Sometimes Carm, my beloved mother, my co-host, a child Holocaust survivor, and a licensed marriage therapist for 40 plus years. Sometimes, just every once in a while, she likes to impress the public by showing all that she has researched, and she goes on tangents. And I said, Carm, please don't do that today. I haven't slept in days. We've been working on the story around the clock. But Carm has unbelievable, I'm not saying psychic level intuition, but maybe unbelievable intuition, and understands the complexity of humanity and humans, unlike anyone except for maybe my own father, who's a retired psychiatrist. So without further ado, let's bring her in. The matriarch of true crime, 86 years young. If you find an older true crime podcaster anywhere from Serbia to Sayreville, New Jersey, home of Bon Jovi, let me know. Carm, how are you?
I'm excellent. Good.
Carm, one thing people don't know, and if you have never seen a Friday show with Carm and I, it's a little weird, but we're going to keep the weirdness limited. But I was looking for an S to go with Serbia. You know, I do this off the cuff, and I came up with Sayreville. And you and I grew up right next, not far from Sayreville, New Jersey. And John Bon Jovi's father in the 1980s cut your hair. Do you remember the name of the salon or his name?
Unfortunately, I don't. He was a co-owner with somebody whose wife's name was Hermione.
And why would you go to Sayreville, New Jersey to get your hair cut of all places? It was a little out of the way.
Because he was very good.
Hermione, yes. So, Carm, typically I go on tirades. I'll tell you how little sleep I've gotten. We're not doing that today. We're sticking to the Guthries. From a macro perspective here, you've been following this. You're a news junkie. What's top of mind? By the way, 13... ironically, is your lucky number. This is day 13, and it is Friday the 13th today. You can't get many more 13-ish than that. Do you think that we're going to get a break in the case today? Let's start there.
I don't think so.
How come? Why the negativity?
Because there are a lot of moving parts, and all the tests and research and wasn't compiled yet. Mm.
Carm, when I told you to just stay on topic today, you gave me a little bit of the middle pointer finger.
No, I didn't.
You're going to deny that?
No, I never gave you the middle finger, but I saw that something is not right. You are more agitated.
I didn't sleep last night. I don't know why, but I did not sleep. But that's okay. That's my issue, not your issue. From a macro perspective, what do you think has been going on here? You know, a lot of people look at you as a maternal figure on the show, those who've been with us forever. And they say to me, what does Carm think? What does Carm think? So, Carm, what do you think here? And for those who don't know, for those who've been living under a rock, tomorrow is 2 weeks, but it was 2 weeks ago, Saturday into Sunday, where this 84-year-old woman just seemingly vanishes from her home. Some people, law enforcement who I've talked to, say this is a real kidnapping, a real abduction. Others say they think it's something like a home invasion gone bad. What do you think happened, Carm?
First of all, as you said, I tried to look a little bit into the family background. And if I may call her Nancy, just to be brief, not to in any way imply that I know her. Nancy spent a huge chunk of her life in Tucson. And she worked for the university in public relations. So she worked for about 17 years after her husband's sudden death. What I imply here that she must know a lot of people.
Yeah. I heard she bought the home 50 years ago, I think for like $63,000, which is hard to believe because I'm sure it's at this point a multi-million dollar home in a very nice, tony part of Tucson. And Carm, I don't need to tell you, I met my wife in Tucson, Arizona. I absolutely love the desert community. I would live there. It's beautiful. It's a tight-knit community, but there's a lot of transients there. There's a lot of crime. There's a lot of petty crime. There's also like serious crime. But again, tell me in your own words what you think transpired on the evening of January 31st into the early morning hours of February 1st. I mean, do you think this is someone?
Okay. First of all, I have to put out a major caveat and a warning. The worst thing a human being can do to another human being is to accuse an innocent person something when they did not. What I am very, very scared of doing that. And that's why I told you once confidentially and made you promise that you will not tell anybody. But very, very early on, I developed my own little like fixed idea of who did it. And it's very hard to move away from that since there is no evidence to oppose it, since there is very little knowledge. I think seeing the person with the mask helped me kind of releasing the initial idea. But initially, my idea was based on what many people speak about victimology. Mm. Victimology. And victimology is know the person you are talking about, the victim, and what is her circle of exposure.
Carm, what you're excellent at, and you could have been president of the United States of America had you been born here, but you were not born here. You're born in Serbia. But you are circling the question and not answering it, because I know you don't want to take
heat. You're paranoid. You feel like people will come at you.
But I was thinking of certain things in the beginning, and I was thinking how I got stuck on that thought and that idea, and that stopped me from developing other thoughts and other theories because I was like hooked into that idea. And
my question is, what is that idea? What was your initial thoughts? Okay to say, Carm, no one's going to come and rip you apart.
You don't know. That theory is probably dead in the water, or at least drowning. Since, as I said, I saw the still photos and the other photos of this person with the mask, but I think it will be much more trite and obvious than we think. And you kind of brought it up by saying that there are many transient people there and many people with all sorts of stories in that area. And somebody might have tangentially touched upon Nancy's house and kind of is not very complicated, just wanted to be a thief, but then why would he play with the camera? Everything you think of, there is something that says, no, you are on the wrong path. In the beginning, when we knew even less, it was easier to assume certain things. And I don't want to reveal it because my theory was based on the fact that you have to look at the victim herself and who was the last to see her and who would benefit from it.
Well, so what are your thoughts? So you're obviously your thought process on this has evolved. I'm not going to say whether you thought it was someone in the inner circle, possibly even family, but you say that you looked at the doorbell, the Nest cam. Some people do want you for president here. By the way, someone said you raised a terrific son, which I would have to agree with. But let's look for a moment at this doorbell video. Curious to get your take on it. And what is it about this video that had you change your mind a little bit?
Well, for some reason, the eyes and the eyebrows were not the eyes and the eyebrows of the person that I first originally thought of.
Okay, so it's a fit.
I want somebody to come up with the idea. What is in his backpack? What is in his backpack?
It's fascinating because it is jam-packed. I mean, I've heard everything from an Elon Musk Starlink satellite to get service in the desert to a body bag to some kind of kit for abductions. I've heard it all. But Carm, what are your thoughts? You're familiar with Occam's razor, which is the simplest thing. It's the simplest thing. Does this seem sophisticated? In your opinion, does this seem like a sophisticated kidnapping? Does it seem like a kidnapping at all to you? We still don't know for sure.
No, listen, there were so many experts, and you say to me, stop showing off, Mom. I listened to every one of your podcasts.
Thank you.
And the opinions varied so vastly. So many different opinions were going on. And these were knowledgeable people who were now retired, but were in this business, the detective business, for 35, 40 years. And they had opposite opinions, and my initial intuition was that it was somebody very close to the family, but now I am thinking, like you said, Occam's razor, it may be a very unimaginative, very simple home invasion, because she's alone, She lives in this house already so many years that she's feeling very comfortable in the house. She's a very sick woman. I don't know if she had an emergency button in case she doesn't feel well. I was even thinking, you know, that we bought me in case of an
emergency. A life alert. You have a life alert.
Yeah. I was wondering if she ever had a life alert.
I don't know. But, Carm, let's make it personal for a minute. You happen to live in a different setting. We are in Miami Beach. You live in a tall condominium, you know, a tower condominium. But, Carm, hypothetically, we're back in New Jersey. You're living alone. You are 86 years old. Nancy's 84. How do you think you would react to someone appearing at your door in the middle of the night? I want an honest answer here, not a funny answer, but someone appears at your door in the middle of the night with this gun on their frontal groin area. How do you think you would react in real time? I mean, it's almost impossible to say, but your thoughts.
I had very shocked life experiences. And for a minute, I have this feeling I'm going to pass out. And it, like, everything becomes like blurred and not real. And then I kind of mentally mobilize. How can I get out of this one?
Yeah, let me caveat this, everyone. For those who do not know, we don't want to make this about Carm or Heavy, but it's
please don't go
Carm.
There.
It's important. At 4.5 years old, Carm was living in the former Yugoslavia. World War II breaks out. Her father, whose name is Ladislav, Lazi for short, he does not think the Nazis would ever come. He was an eternal optimist. He was an eyeglass maker. He says to my grandmother, my mother's mother, the Nazis would never come. Lo and behold, the Nazis knock on the front door. They grab my grandfather. My mother is taken by my grandmother through a hole in the back fence, literally running. My grandfather is eventually gassed and killed in Auschwitz. My mother has a lot to do with it, Carm. Carm, don't interrupt me, please. I don't interrupt you. I love you. I'm tired. I didn't sleep. So Carm is then taken to a doctor who's friends with my grandfather. And it's very weird for me to even talk about this because I act 21 or 19, and this is my very own grandfather that was gassed in Auschwitz. So he's taken my mother by my grandmother, who was not like the toughest woman in the world, but she was under certain situations. She takes my mother to a non-Jewish, a righteous Gentile, a doctor, Dr. Ivo Scherzer, who takes my mother to a Catholic school for boys, where at the age of 4.5, she screams at my grandmother, a mother who truly loves her daughter, does not leave her with strangers. But my mother is kept in a Catholic school for boys and then reunited at 4.5 years old. Think about how young that is.
I was 5 years old at that point
when you were released. And they are eventually liberated from Budapest. But the point is, Carm was in some very traumatic situations as her mother was at a very young age. So
I tell you something. You
could argue that a home invasion is less traumatic than being snatched up in the Holocaust. By the way, I have a book, Surviving the Survivors,
entitled
the podcast that you could talks about this story. Okay, so why don't you agree with me? How have those survivals
right now? Yeah. I had a little townhouse near my daughter in New Jersey. There was no gate house. Anybody could drive into that development and go anywhere they wanted to. And my bedroom was on the first floor. And I felt, even though it was attached to the next one, I felt very unsafe there. Here, I kind of lulled myself into safety, which is also naive. But I feel safer. I would never, ever let my mother take the risk of living in such an isolated place without some kind of an alarm or some kind of a way to be notified. But I think what happened with Savannah and her sister and brother, they were so used to the mother living there that they didn't even probably think of A, maybe getting her some help at night. Maybe she had help during the day. And B, they never thought of getting her some kind of an alarm system or move her. You know, the houses are so distant from each other. Moving an older person out of the environment can really throw them off and accelerate their condition of disorientation and all that jazz. So I think where she was and how she was is part of the problem.
I mean, this brings us full circle, Carmen. We're getting a little bit of breaking news that I'm going to jump in with here in a minute, which is why I appear distracted. And for those who have emailed me and said, hey, Joe, I love your show, but sometimes you look distracted, it's because I am a news guy through and through. So I'm always looking on a story like this for breaking news because it could happen anytime. And we're getting some stuff. A lot of people just said when I told my mom's story that they're really curious about Carm. The book I was written because of the success of the podcast is the same title. I put up the QR code if you want to purchase it. It is a fascinating book, and it's like 20% her story.
Marketing.
It's 20% of it's 20% her story and life advice from Carm. But, I mean, Mom, this brings me back to first full circle. So you said like if this were to happen to you. And I've got to think Nancy's pretty strong. You said that you would panic for like a moment, right?
Yeah.
And then you would get, and you said you try to get yourself out of the situation. Is that by using your biggest weapon, which is your mouth? And how would you do it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would let them know they can take everything and I'm not going to talk.
Someone just had a super chat for you here. By the way, we're coming back at 5 for a quote unquote real actual show on the.
Okay, what did you just see on your?
Okay, I'm going to tell you that you're anxious, Carm. Right, Carm, love your takes. Do you think Nancy is alive? Difficult question. Phil Ramos has openly said he does not think she's still with us. What do you think?
I don't think she's alive.
Why? Because of the level of her. You know, she was not a healthy woman. Is that why?
Well, I think these people, whoever did it, you know, very far out ideas of who did it or very close people, whoever did it, once she passed away, they are afraid to get in touch because they have nothing to give, nothing to show except a dead body. And that's why they are like stalling and avoiding and
yeah,
and so forth.
Okay, so Matt Finn, he and I worked together at Fox News. Really nice guy, actually, which is not what I say about most people who I work with the news. But he just did a wide-ranging interview with the Pima County Sheriff, Chris Nanos, about a lot of topics. Here it is. Nanos tells Fox that his office did not find a glove at Nancy's home. We have no glove. We never found a glove on that property. Now, they found gloves elsewhere, but there was reports that there was a glove in the house. So there goes that. Nanos claims his office has been using the same contracted private lab for decades, long before he was in office. He says his office started sending the Guthrie evidence to this lab from the start and that the Guthrie family DNA and other DNA swabs are there, too. So it makes sense to keep sending the incoming evidence there so that the lab can immediately run the new evidence against what is already in-house. Nanos claims the FBI was on board with this. He says, let's please remove the thank you. And I said please because someone yelled at me for not saying please or thank you to my wife. But I said please. Family and other DNA swabs are there, too. So it makes sense to keep sending the incoming evidence there so that the lab can immediately run the new evidence against what is already in-house. Nanos claims the FBI was on board with this. He says, why split evidence between the private lab and Quantico, which is, of course, the FBI lab? And he says, we trust the FBI's crime lab. We've used them before, but in this case, we started with that lab. It's just that simple. Nanos claims he is working together well with the FBI, claims he would have no reason not to seek their help and partnership. Absolutely crazy. that he wouldn't use their partnerships is the quote. Nanos claims he called the FBI the next working day, the Monday after Nancy went missing. He shoots down claims he was reluctant to include the FBI and says, for example, they quickly let the FBI take the lead on the ransom notes because the FBI is better at that with their technology. Carm, the bottom line here is, I guess boys will be boys and maybe girls will be girls, but that there is some rift going on between the Pima County Sheriff.
You know what is the bottom line?
Go ahead.
You know what's the bottom line?
What is it?
The bottom line is that the hardest thing is to keep an open mind. And it's very, very, very difficult. And so we rush into all sorts of conclusions. And the real good investigators, they just leave it completely open. No ego involved. You make an assumption and you start to ride that assumption, you exclude everything else. And I was watching the people you interviewed, and the ones who were remarkable were the ones who would say, I'm not sure of this, I'm not sure of that, I'm not formulating this, I'm not formulating that. And I think I am just overwhelmed when I think, What does the family, the close family, do? How are they managing just to get up in the morning and go through the day, knowing there is still no mother, there is still no grandma? What happened? How are they managing to deal with all of this? And how do they manage to sleep? And how do they manage to eat? I think the unknown is worse than the knowing the worst thing and having an answer. I think it's easier to know what is happening than not to know, than to be completely like suspended in midair.
I guess it's fair to say I'm a pretty high-stress guy because I worry about absolutely everything, including this very ad that I'm reading right now, and whether or not you're going to believe me and go out and buy this amazing product. But there's a company that ships federally legal THC right to your doorstep. And man, they are discreet. And yes, I'm talking about mood.com. And among their gummies, two of them are my favorite. Sleepy Time Advanced Gummies does exactly that. When you're up and you're tossing and turning at night, you take a Sleepy Time gummy, boom, you are out cold. And then next, COE. Carm, sorry, but it's true. Sexual Euphoria Advanced Gummies, they help in the bedroom. They help a lot. But if you're not into gummies, there are other options. You've got flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and yes, even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. And best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
I'm now going to blame the COE because I started to talk and I was muted, and I think I'm being muted. I'm now getting paranoid. However, what I was going to say is, if you were abducted, I will be an absolute wreck. But if there's one person I feel like could maybe get out of it, it would be you, because you and the COE have the gift of gab, an unbelievable capacity to both of you to talk your way in and out of things. So it would be
in amazing. The corners and out of the corners.
In the corners and out of corner. I cannot tell you how many times the COE has been pulled over for small infractions where, according to her, she becomes the DID, the damsel in distress, and she gets right out of it, where it never would happen for me. COE, can we, I don't know that I think I can add this. This is now, I believe, Savannah Guthrie on the Today Show, Carm. Let's watch this together, and we will, Carm, you know I love you so much, and I don't want you to be abducted, but during this entire show, I have my toes curled to such a degree from pressure and stress and anxiety There's no one that can affect me like you can affect me. Like, I'm going to break my toes.
I have been a little angel. I didn't do anything.
I don't know what you're going to say or how you're going to say it. And no matter what happens,
expect something that will stress you out.
Well, no matter what happens, I'm the villain. I got a 20-page email the other night that I don't say please and thank you to my wife. And, I mean, you just interrupted me 11 times in a row, mid-sentence, and no one says anything to you. Joel, here we go. Yeah.
Joel, this is the cadence of our conversations doesn't change just because we are on a podcast. This is how we talk to each other when we are not in a podcast.
Not true, because we're not in a podcast. You tell me to go F myself, and you give me the finger on FaceTime.
But on top of that, we interrupt each other all the time.
Wendy says, this is what I'm talking about right here. I shouldn't do this show on Fridays because Friday's the end of, but Wendy just said, Joel, you need to lighten up. Not Carm, you need to lighten up, but Joel, you need to lighten up. Let's watch this together. Is this video, COE?
And Savannah, yeah. We're going to start with you. You took us back to your old stomping grounds.
Oh, yes, here we go. You know, I'm really excited about this. When people ask me, where are you from? I'm always proud when I say Tucson, Arizona. I grew up there, went to college there. My mom still lives there. And honestly, a part of me has really never left. So thanks to our sponsor, Visit Tucson, I got a chance to go home to show you everything from the giants of the desert to the people who raised me and really why Tucson is unlike anywhere else in the world. There is no place like home, especially when home is as stunning a place as Tucson, Arizona, where the sunsets paint the sky every single night, and every cactus is an old friend. Prickly pear, saguaro. This is the jumping cholla, because if you walk past it and brush it, it jumps out at you. Or, in some cases, frenemy. Still sharp. But Tucson is more than its breathtaking landscape. It's a vibrant community and canvas. Hi, Joe. I'm Savannah Guthrie. Nice to meet you. This is beautiful.
Thanks.
Joe Padgett has transformed Tucson one wall at a time, turning bland buildings into colorful celebrations of desert life and culture.
Just going to do a little arc like that.
Okay. I'm leaving my mark on Tucson.
That's a finished heel monster town.
And speaking of desert creatures, no trip to Tucson is complete without visiting the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum. A frequent elementary school field trip for me, it's home to hundreds of animals native to the Sonoran Desert. Like javelinas, those wild rascals that were always knocking over our trash cans growing up, and a brand new bouncing baby.
This is our porcupine pine cone who actually came to us from New York.
After weeks in quarantine, he's making his big debut with us. Honey, I'm bringing home a pet. But it was all just a warm-up for Klaus.
He's about as close to a flying puppy as you can get.
Okay. So. Woman, 53, dies in hometown, felled by ferocious puppy owl. Klaus. Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. So this is Klaus.
Hi, Klaus.
Are you okay?
I'm okay.
Okay.
Hey, Klaus. Well, it was nice to meet you and everything. Okay. Oh, bye. Overcoming your fears.
Yes, you did fantastic. You did fantastic.
And speaking of girls gone wild, Tucson is also where I went to college. I can't believe it. I'm back. This is my alma mater, the University of Arizona. It's just as beautiful and sunny as it ever was. But I want to meet some real students of today.
No.
I know just where to go. Knock, Mr. President.
Hey,
hi.
Savannah.
Yeah,
great to see you. Good
reading
about you.
Oh my gosh, it is so good to be back in
great
Tucson.
To see you. Welcome.
I'm a hugger. This is home.
That's fantastic. We're so happy you're back.
Where are all the students?
You remember them all.
Yes.
Welcome home.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Bye bye.
I'm here, but where is everybody?
Welcome back home, Savannah.
I think this is my sorority house. I think this is the Pi-Fi house. I gotta go in. Hello? Anybody home? Hello?
So hi, I'm Savannah Guthrie. Hi, bye. Let's Fast 90.
1 second. You might want to back up a little bit.
Back in my day, we just did the secret handshake. Now, they have a viral TikTok dance. You guys just won best Hi-Fi chapter in the country. That's what we used to do. What does it mean to you to be a Hi-Fi and be part of this organization?
I find myself becoming a better version of who I am every single day that I'm in Hi-Fi. We have the most amazing emerging leaders, and I'm just so proud of all of them.
Well, it's so fun to be back here. It's been a long, long time.
Actually, we did find something of yours, and we have a little surprise for you.
Okay. I remember this. This used to hang on the wall.
Yes, yeah, still does.
Big hair, don't care. Okay.
There you are. Yep.
Oh, yeah. There we are. That's my natural hair color. Guys, thank you so much for having me. I've had the best time. Should we do one more cheer before I go?
Let's do it.
Okay. Let's go. 3, 2, 1. But by far, my favorite part about Tucson is family. El Charro is the oldest family-owned Mexican restaurant in America and the perfect place to catch up with mine, my mom Nancy, and sister Annie.
I come here every time I come home to Tucson. I have to come to El Charro. How long has El Charro been here?
103 years.
Carlota Flores has run El Charro for over 50 years, taking over from her great aunt Monica, the woman who's said to have invented the chimichanga. She treated us to a tradition from back in Prohibition when women playing cards would hide their tequila in teacups.
Cheers.
Cheers.
I love being home. Don't drink the whole thing. Well, Mom, you guys came here in the 70s and you'd been moving all around. What made you want to stay in Tucson and plant roots?
It's so wonderful. Just the air, the quality of life is laid back and gentle. Yeah, I like to watch the javelina eat my plants.
But the best thing about Tucson is coming home and
yes.
Seeing you guys. Should we raise a glass? Prickly Pear Margarita. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
Love you.
Cheers. Love you.
From the love of family to the familiar beauty of the scenery, I will always be a daughter of the desert.
Daughter.
Beautiful. Carm, your reaction to that video. I happen to know Carlotta, who owns El Charro, the oldest Mexican restaurant, a beautiful woman.
I have to tell you that when you were in Tucson, Roy and my husband and I went to visit you, and I got a hat. It says Tucson, Arizona, and I still have it. And believe it or not, by sheer coincidence, I wore it earlier. It's very sunny and windy. But anyway, I love Tucson. I love the desert, not only there, but in most of the Southwest. And I love Tucson. Very friendly, very nice the town. I miss the zoo. I'm sorry I missed the zoo. I'll have to go back.
Yeah, there was not a night in Tucson where I did not look under my sheets with a black light for scorpions. I really did that every single night. Javelinas, I had my beloved Mabel Rose, my puggle of almost 17 years. And whenever I walked her at night, I would always have a flatbed pickup truck that I would look for that I could throw her into in case Javelinas charge us. There's one more thing here that the COE wants to play. Let's play it, COE.
When I go back, it's like my whole soul is home. My spirit is home. Yeah. I feel my father in the wind, the desert, the cactus, the animals. It's such a unique place. It's a beautiful place to visit if you ever want to. And the weather is gorgeous right now. A little hot in the summer. Yeah.
Speaking of heart and home, are we going to your home?
Tomorrow. We're going to go. Yeah. I'm going to take you back to.
All right. Mom, in hindsight now, it's easy to say this. By the way, if anyone comes for Carm, tries to abduct her, all my new friends are FBI homicide detectives who carry a lot of guns, and it won't end good for you or well for you. So don't even think about trying to take Carm because...
Luckily, I'm not such a valuable target.
Yeah, but I will hunt you down is what I'm saying. I will hunt you down and I will find you.
I am usually paranoid, but... I used to think, until this happened to Nancy, I used to say, who the heck would want to do that for an 85-year-old, 86-year-old, 84-year-old?
That's exactly it. Please, what do you think the motive is here? Why would someone want to take, no offense, an 84-year-old woman who's not in great health?
I guess it's fair to say I'm a pretty high-stress guy because I worry about absolutely everything, including this very ad that I'm reading right now, and whether or not you're going to believe me and go out and buy this amazing product. But there's a company that ships federally legal THC right to your doorstep, and man, they are discreet. And yes, I'm talking about Mood.com. And among their gummies, two of them are my favorite. Sleepy Time Advanced Gummies does exactly that. When you're up and you're tossing and turning at night, you take a Sleepy Time gummy, boom, you are out cold. And then next, COE, Carm, sorry, but it's true. Sexual Euphoria Advanced Gummies, they help in the bedroom. They help a lot. But if you're not into gummies, there are other options. You've got flour, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and yes, even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. And best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
Do you think possibly somebody's doing delayed vengeance type of a thing? Like we had it with the, what was the name of the dentist and the
Tepe. I mean, looking at this piece that we just watched, in hindsight, do you think that people in the public eye do need to be more careful? I mean, it wasn't like, you know, she didn't give us an address, but she brought us to her mother in Tucson. There's a lot of deranged people out there. There's people who might perceive NBC as liberal, Fox is right, might have a grudge. In hindsight, is it a mistake to reveal too much to the public, Carmela?
I definitely think it's a mistake for the simple reason that a very small percentage of human beings is deranged.
Yeah.
You know, it has nothing to do with logic or reason or anything. It's just like a thought disorder, a distortion, paranoia, whatever the reason is, that's what it is.
Just so everyone knows, by the way, coming back at 5 p.m. Eastern tonight with retired homicide detective Phil F.I.L. Waters, Houston homicide, Phil Ramos, P.H.I.L., Las Vegas homicide, and Greg, whose last name I always forget, but Greg worked for the FBI in a very interesting capacity. And then we've got Dr. Casey Jordan. So we've got a packed 5 o'clock where we're going to recap the day's news and hopefully something will happen with this case. Carm, from Miss J Vibes here, thank you for the super chat. Oh, by the way, at 2:30 today, which is in about 50 minutes, Dr. G and I are recording something. It's going to be a 25-minute video. We're going to be looking at the Nest Cam video. Dr. G, of course, is the body language and behavior expert. He's going to break down that Nest Cam video. And he also says he has his own theory about this case, and that will get posted basically immediately afterwards by the COE under the video tab. So a lot. And I also just posted something about the Alexander brothers and Tiff Knox, lover, just gifted 5 memberships. Carm, I know you're trying. It's hard for you to not speak, so speak.
Very hard. You know why? Because by the time I speak, I forget. Mm. By the time if I don't speak right away, it flies out.
Well, you were going to say something, so now say it, Carm.
Yeah, well, I can't remember right now. I told you.
Okay.
I know what I wanted to say. Do you think it's a really crazy thought that somebody, just like with the Adelsons, that there was somebody a paid
like a hitman is a what you're saying.
Yes. Is that the far out imagination?
I think everything is on the table here, Carmela. And one of the elephants in the room, and I got a text right from a very intelligent person right before going on air who says, look, and they live in very smart circles. And they said, I wouldn't be surprised. And this is, again, not a political statement. This is the reality of where we are. Savannah Guthrie's husband works with the Clintons and they're in the Epstein files. And the Epstein files are out. And apparently she was going to interview Epstein victims. I mean, do you think it could be that outrageous that it go? You don't. How come? Why are you so sure?
It's really fetched too far in my reasoning. I can see somebody like her first husband. Mm. We don't know anything about Savannah's first husband. And I think I saw a statement by her how hard and how painful her first marriage was in the end. It didn't work out the way
what, she what do you worked. Make of that? I mean, apparently she gave an interview of all people to Monica Lewinsky. And in that interview, she seemed to not want to talk about her first husband, a guy named Mark Orchard, who's a BBC reporter. She said she didn't want to talk about him. It was too painful. How do you interpret that? And obviously, he's not a suspect, but he's part of the conversation.
Yeah, I hate to say this, that if it is so painful, then she had a major emotional investment in that relationship. That's why the pain now. If you don't care about somebody, it just rolls off you like whatever, water from a duck or something like that. The expression is.
Carm, by the way, it's my beloved birthday. Her birthday is coming up. As you know, since last March, I have planned a trip for her, sort of a once in a lifetime trip. And that trip begins Tuesday, and I'm now absolutely panicked that I'm going to miss this story. Anything?
You know how I cheered up Joel when he told me this? Just to show you what a heartless, cruel mother I am. I said, listen, you cannot control all the things. After your death, there will be a lot of victims and trials and stories. And you will be gone. You cannot control everything. You have to let go. You are not going to be able to be here when this really
happens. I realize something though, where we're going to be at midnight, it will be 7 p.m. Eastern time. So I know I'm going to end up doing shows, even though I swore to myself that I wasn't going to do anything. I did commit.
If I were your wife, I would be mortally insulted by this.
I am a weird person. There's no doubt about it. And one of the things that I do every night is I fall asleep to a cult radio show called Coast to Coast AM, which I stream. And believe it or not, I've been on a couple times as a guest, and they called me out of the blue to come on and discuss this. So I already said yes to that while I'm away, and I have to do it. It'll be 6 a.m. my time. I figured the COE will be dead asleep, so I'm just going to do it. But I don't know how I'm going to get out of not doing this. I'm absolutely torn up inside. Well, I think it's
ask
one
of a friend to do it for you.
I started to feel I was getting run down last night, Carm. So I took a few airborne's, you know, those airborne's, and then. Yeah.
Magic thinking.
Well, there's a lot of sugar in them. So then I started to panic that the sugar and the airborne is going to keep me awake. And then I just didn't sleep. It was one of those nights where I just didn't sleep.
Not knowing how to pace yourself is a major, major flaw. Major. Mm.
I will be on Coast to Coast AM if everything stays as is this Wednesday night. So people are saying don't do it. But Carm, would you like to wish your daughter-in-law a happy birthday? She doesn't want her age revealed, I don't think, but
well, I had a lunch with her. I presented her with a present.
That was a very cool gift, by the way. You want to why don't you share with that? You don't have to say in detail what it is, but
say what it is, but it is very few things, because my life was in Europe. Then I came to America And my mother was alive and she was sentimental. She kept most of the heirloom little memories and things for herself. And then when she died, I went to Switzerland and my sister handed me this bracelet. She kept another one. And I know it was my grandmother who was born in 1890 and who was my favorite person. And I gave it to Ileana.
It's a bracelet that your great that your grandmother
so your great grandmother.
And it's a cool bracelet.
Your great grandmother Joel had this bracelet.
Yeah.
And anyway,
was that a way of
about this bracelet is not that it's relevant or not.
Carm, was that your way of getting out of spending money on a gift by couching it as you're giving an heirloom?
That was below the belt, definitely. I think I'm more noble than that. But in any case, the weirdest thing is that I took even a picture of it. That style from the 1930s, now it's almost 2030. That same style is in right now. It's fashionable. It doesn't look like a throwback to 100 years ago. And it has all the European stamping on it and all the things. And I was very happy that I did that. And I think I'm going to the few things that I have or that I don't have, I'm going to give away while I'm alive and not when I'm dead.
By the way, Vesper Martini's in the chat. She's also modding now, but I cannot thank her enough publicly or privately. She does so much for us behind the scenes. It's hard to explain. So she is a VIP at STS. COE here says, I love meaningful gifts. My mother and Carm both gave me the meaningful gifts this year. I didn't know that your mother did, and I hope it's in the form of a check, but I have not heard, but I'll find out. Carm,
he's very bad.
Let's watch this, Carm. Let's watch this now. This is, let's watch this first one because it goes more in order. This is now the original plea from Savannah Guthrie and her family. And then I have a few more things to ask you about the family dynamic and we'll wind it up. So far, this has been an unbelievably, this has been our most relaxed Friday ever. However, I can't help it. I do curl my toes in anticipation of a moment that will unravel the show. And I feel like I'm fracturing my toes from the pressure. Here we go.
We received your message and we understand. We beg you now to return our mother to us so that we can celebrate with her. This is the only way we will have peace. This is very valuable to us and we will pay. We received your message and we understand. We beg you now to return our mother to us so that we can celebrate with her. This is the only way we will have peace. This is very valuable to us, and we will pay.
So that's a shortened version, I think. But Carm, you know, you've seen this. What's your visceral reaction? Obviously, this was put together in part by law enforcement. What do you make of this message?
I guess it's fair to say I'm a pretty high-stress guy because I worry about absolutely everything, including this very ad that I'm reading right now, and whether or not you're going to believe me and go out and buy this amazing product. But there's a company that ships federally legal THC right to your doorstep, and man, they are discreet. And yes, I'm talking about Mood.com. And among their gummies, two of them are my favorites. Sleepy Time Advanced Gummies does exactly that. When you're up and you're tossing and turning at night, you take a Sleepy Time gummy, boom, you are out cold. And then next, COE, Carm, sorry, but it's true. Sexual Euphoria Advanced Gummies, they help in the bedroom. They help a lot. But if you're not into gummies, there are other options. You've got flour, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and yes, even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. And best of all,
Not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
I think they were told to do it, and they did it, and they are in pain, and the whole, this whole 2 weeks have been very, very disturbing to me, because not only your program, but so many different YouTubes, the television stations, local, national, they are obsessed with this thing, obsessed, becoming really obsessed. And the world is going on, other things are happening that are just as serious, if not more serious. And I don't know, this is a very strange habit of taking one event and just absolutely being obsessed with it. This is the American way. You know, during OJ's, I was busy with the work and little children and husband and friends.
Little children. I was out of college during OJ. I watched it while I was working, Carm.
Okay, I don't remember how little the children were. But I know that I was glued. I was very impressed with the whole event, because I felt that Central Casting picked out the characters in this whole tragedy. And there were things happening. The Marsha, what was her name? Marsha, the lawyer with the curly
Marsha Clark.
Marsha Clark. The names I never remember. And in this situation, virtually nothing is happening. There is a glove here. Finally, after 12 days, there is a video of somebody who you cannot recognize no matter what. You know, it could be a million other people. But basically nothing is happening except what the FBI and the police are doing. Nothing is happening.
Yeah, nothing has really happened. Carm, I have another thought. When you just said that you had young kids during OJ, and I was actually working at the time out of college, it just goes, life just flies by. I really can't handle having to face mortality. There's an actor, James Vanderbeek, may he rest in peace, dead at 48 from colorectal cancer, 6 kids. Why must we go? You tell me, I can't remember who it is. Was it Arthur Miller, some writer who lived in Paris, who said what he would miss most is the beautiful women in Paris in the springtime? Is that who it was?
In short dresses.
In short. And, yeah. You know, I know you'll miss this, and I will miss, like, I thought
of something really
interrupted really, again. Really go ahead.
Corny the other day.
I was just going to say, literally just mid sentence, and she interrupts, but no one will say anything to her. No. I was going to say these stories really, there's something that I enjoy, is certainly not the right word, but it's like I'm so in, news is so ingrained in me that I can't believe I won't be here one day, and there will be a giant story going on when I won't be here. I might miss the women in short dresses too, but I'm going to miss big news stories. How does one cope with mortality, Carm?
Nobody copes well with mortality. It's one of the difficult things to cope with, but I think if I don't want to be a victim, which I really don't want to be in life, and if I don't want to be even the victim of death, I think courage is not a bad idea. Courage is not a bad idea. Thinking about it and ruminating about it is not going to help. It's going to happen. It's going to, you know, many times in the end of the day when I'm ready to go to bed, I think another day of my life is gone. So when I have a morbid thought like that, which is realistic, I try to kind of take a step forward and think, what do I have to do tomorrow morning? And if there were no tomorrow morning, I have to be brave enough because there is nothing I can do. In this case, no action will prevent it from happening, and I better take it as it comes.
You know, we keep talking. We are working on my next book, the first book, Surviving the Survivor. The next one is Surviving the Psychiatrist, about my father. My father passed away. You know, you ever see those two clouds in the sky and they are passing, going, I feel like every day that cloud, who was my father, not literally because I love my dad, but is just moving past me and I can't grab onto it. I think one of the reasons I can't write this book, Carm, I'm having a hard time, is I'm afraid that if we actually dig into it, the emotions will turn on like a spigot and I will just, how is my father not here anymore? I mean, how does that happen?
This is everybody a sheltered life.
Frederick Morris Roosevelt Brown, my pug, my beloved pug, left his mother and father at 8 weeks from North Carolina. He's independent. My father raised me into my mid-50s and then just disappears from the earth. I mean, how is that fair? How's that fair?
Nothing. Nobody ever told you that things are fair.
Savannah Guthrie's father left her when she was just 16. 16. Here's another video that they put out. This now is very sad. It's short. It's something Savannah put out yesterday about her own family. Time. I mean,
this is her now. The other one, this is her mother.
I mean, Phil Ramos said this is like something you would see at a funeral. Your reaction to that video? Some people say they can't watch it. It's too hard.
May I say something?
Yeah.
Unrelated. Right now, as I'm sitting here, I'm dealing with a very, very dear friend who I happen to love her, is having a very, 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 very tragic event happening to her. So, and it's not through other people, it's her own life tragic event. And I'm dealing with a lot of that. At my age, you deal with a lot of that. And there are a few of those, just, you know, when we did this week in Death and Dying, in the very beginning of our podcast, that still continues, just because we are not doing that anymore, that format. Mm. That was a time where we had a little episode in every podcast. That was Joel's
idea. This podcast started because of the pandemic, and Carmen and I needed something to do, and we thought we'd be the next Joe and Joan Rogan. So we just talked about anybody. We had Carol Baskin when Tiger King was a huge hit, and Carmen was calling it Lion King. That's also in my book, Surviving the Survivor. What was the point of that? The point of that was, I had a segment on there because Carm loves to tell me about all her friends who are either dead or in the process of dying. So
we're very upset, very sad, very uncomfortable.
We did a weekly segment called This Week in Dead and Death and Dying. This Week in Death and Dying.
We did it like a joke because I was going through that.
Yeah, here's another video, final one, and then we'll get some final thoughts here. This is from 2 days ago, I believe.
Hi there, everybody. I wanted to come on and just share a few thoughts as we enter into another week of this nightmare. I just want to say, first of all, thank you so much for all of the prayers and the love that we have felt, my sister and brother and I, and that our mom has felt, because we believe that somehow, some way, she is feeling these prayers and that God is lifting her even in this moment and in this darkest place. We believe our mom is still out there. We need your help. Law enforcement is working tirelessly around the clock, trying to bring her home, trying to find her. She was taken and we don't know where. And we need your help. So I'm coming on just to ask you, not just for your prayers, but no matter where you are, even if you're far from Tucson, if you see anything, you hear anything, if there's anything at all that seems strange to you, that you report to law enforcement. We are in an hour of desperation and we need your help.
A little bit more news coming in. That was obviously Savannah Guthrie. Brian Enton reporting that President Trump just asked why the FBI has not taken over the Nancy Guthrie case. And his response is they didn't want to let go of it. I guess local law enforcement. This is becoming a real issue in this case. We're going to talk about this at 5 with retired homicide detectives. Pima County Sheriff Chris Nano spoke to Tucson TV station KVOA, where one of my closest friends, Matt Brode, is the chief weatherman. They say reports he is withholding evidence from the FBI are not even close to the truth. He told KVOA they have a long-standing partnership with the FBI. Carm, it's a difficult thing to bring up, but you know how many missing people there are in this country and people who go missing. And now in this case, you've got the president of the United States, whether you love him or hate him or are indifferent. Life's not fair. Savannah Guthrie's got money. She's got fame. She gets special attention. There's no question about it. What about all these other people that don't get the attention?
It goes back to the world is not necessarily always just. And it's well known that justice is also not, you know, there is that, I don't know if you saw the little statues of justice. It's blind and is holding a scale of fairness, right? Yeah. And I don't think it's that fair. And one thing that we do, and we cannot deny that we are doing it, when we don't like the pace at which an investigation is going, we strike out at the police investigation. We are looking for somebody to blame, and I think in this case we are looking for somebody to blame. Is the same thing was with the Idaho 4. When it wasn't going fast enough for people's taste, the investigation, they started to accuse the police. And that's also not fair. I think they're trying their best and they are stuck in some way. For some reason, they are stuck.
They're going to crack it. I have no doubt they're going to crack it. We'll see how they crack it. Someone asked, what's your show mean? If you're listening earlier, my mother's a child Holocaust survivor. She also likes to give me a tough time. So I'm literally trying to survive.
I don't really.
This, Carm, you do. Trust me, you do, Carm.
No, I don't.
It's kind of a brilliant title. I came up with it, but that's neither here nor there.
I think it is a smart title. Because you do feel like I'm picking on you.
Carm, hold on. I just saw something. There's a verdict in this Paul Canero case in New Jersey. If it's anything but guilty, I'll be shocked. Carm, if you got a call from Savannah Guthrie saying, I know you're not practicing therapy anymore actively, but I'm just distraught. What would you say to her in her hour of desperation, as she calls it?
Well, I think what helps her a lot, it looks like it, is her religious faith. That helps her right now. And she is strong. You know, your father, you suddenly come home and you find out that your father died suddenly from a heart attack at 16. That also, you know, either you become a wreck or you become a little stronger from that. I think that she has her two beautiful little boys and the second husband that she seems to be happy with. And you just sit with her. There's not much you can say to her.
Karm, is life just torture, one torture after another? Is that what it is?
I don't think so. Life is life. I think life is beautiful. Like, you know, I look outside and I'm thinking, this is what I will not be able to see after I'm dead. This is so beautiful. The palm trees, the sunlight. It's beautiful.
A final question and then a final thought from Karm. My final question is, you know, if it is something like the inner circle of the family, and I'm really hoping it's not, I feel like 13 days in, the family, if there was any connection to the family would have crumbled by now under this pressure. Do you agree with me that if it was someone involved, that they wouldn't be able to keep it from their own siblings, let alone law enforcement?
No, I don't believe that. But I believe that the person who was wearing the mask, sort of led the investigation away from family members.
Interesting. And Karm, we're day 13. I started the show by saying you're a contrarian. Your lucky number is 13. It's the 13th day of this. It is Friday the 13th. Number one, why is 13 your lucky number? And your final thoughts here today, and try to make it more than two words.
More than two words?
Yes.
That means
more than two words and under 5,000 words, please.
Oh, okay. There is a range?
Yes.
What was the question again?
By the way, life is beautiful. This is the only time in my life I've really cried at a movie, because if you saw the movie Life is Beautiful with, what's his name?
An Italian comic.
Yeah, famous, phenomenal actor. I'm just blanking on his name. But the little boy in Life is Beautiful actually looks like my mother when she was a little girl. And I just sat there and sobbed for like 30 minutes in the movie theater seat. Everyone must have thought I was an absolute lunatic. Karm, why is 13 your favorite number and your final thought?
13, I think that was part of my defiance, because everybody said 13, you know, you don't have a 13th floor in a building, you have 12s and then 14s.
Correct. Roberto Benigni.
Bad luck. And I was consistently, at the time I went to school, elementary school, They had a big ledger, and each student had a number. And my last name started with a K, so I was 13 somehow in the listing of names of students. And next year I was listed 13 again for some coincidence. And after a couple of years, I came to the, and I was enjoying school and I was enjoying my friends. And I declared that that's a lucky number. Mm.
I remember Roberto Benigni won the Oscar and he walked on the seats. That's an unforgettable Oscar moment. But I mean, I guess his life's been downhill ever since. Once you win the Oscar, what else is there to do?
You don't know, because he was in Italy and maybe he's still doing things in Italy.
Yeah. I mean, I won the New Jersey Central Group 1 tennis championships, and life's been all downhill since that. Karm, your final thoughts on this case, does it get resolved? And where do you think we go from here?
I think it will be resolved. And if Nancy Gutierrez is alive,
Guthrie, but I like your pronunciation.
I don't know.
Guthrie is the, yes, go ahead.
Okay. if she's alive, I would be totally very happy. But I think we should brace ourselves and prepare ourselves that she's not going to be alive. And then people will have to go through the, you know, the years and years of mourning.
You know, there's absolutely sick story, which probably has some truth to it. The Daily Mail reported that already people are vying, because it's such a cutthroat, awful business, broadcast news, that people are already vying to get into Savannah Guthrie's anchor chair. Do you think she would go back to the Today Show after this story if her mother is no longer with us? Do you think she?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Which, how much time do you think she would need off?
A few months.
Okay. Carm, I love you. You're my only mother. Anything ever happens, if you are ever abducted, I literally have
you. I'm sure you're going to pay the ransom, even if you have to rob a bank.
Do you have your life alert with you?
Well, I am not wearing it right now.
Well, maybe you should. Also, could you stop wearing your phone around your neck? Because when you FaceTime me, I get seasick, and it's troubling for me. On that note, love you, America. Love you, Carm. Love you, Miami. Love you, Tucson. Bring Nancy Guthrie home. I'm recording something with Dr. G in 18 minutes that will be up very shortly after that under the video tab. And we're back at 5 o'clock with a full wrap-up show today with homicide detectives and an FBI agent. Love you all. If you're feeling down because I just brought everyone down, maybe the best remedy is to buy my book, Surviving the Survivor, available anywhere books are sold, because it is depressing yet uplifting, and it will change the way you look at life. Love you all.